Hey, whether you enjoy listening to Breaking Down Collapse or Building Up Resilience, I think you'll also really enjoy our bonus content on Patreon.
Yeah, Kellen and I take 20 minutes each week to talk about the news that's happening all around us and Collapse as it plays out. We like to have a little fun with it, but also make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the world of Collapse.
We look forward to having you join us there. The link to join us on Patreon is in the episode description.
In an era of intensifying polycrisis, it can be difficult, if not impossible, to stay caught up on all aspects of collapse, right? We have moments in which things are intensifying in one area, and so we spend a lot of time there. And recently, you know, that has been primarily around the political response to collapse and also to the, you know, the climate. That said, I have not focused much so far in these first, you know, nearly 20 daily episodes on ecological issues. But that does not mean that ecological issues have stopped. And, you know, obviously they are intensifying along with everything else. And so today's article comes from The Independent in the UK. And it's in regards to a very specific collapse, which is the collapse of cod fisheries in the sea around the UK. Now, there are several reasons why this is highly relevant to collapse. But I also think that much of what this article demonstrates, both purposely and not purposely, is a pretty good analogy to societal collapse in general. So with that, let's jump in. The first analogy that I want to draw here, and maybe this isn't so much an analogy, but just a piece of irony, is the title of this article, which is UK could see fish and chips shortages as cod supply in, quote, grave danger. Scientists have warned that North Sea cod is in grave danger of collapse. How interesting that as we are headed into this sixth great mass extinction event, the title of the article focuses on the fact that fish and chips might see shortages. You know, not the fact that we're destroying completely, you know, an entire species and ecosystem in one part of the world and the ecological impacts that that's going to have. But rather focusing on the human aspect of it, which is that humans may not get to eat their fish and chips in one part of the world. But I digressed. The main point of the article, it says, the nation's favorite choice for fish and chips could be under threat, as scientists have warned fishermen they'll need to catch far less cod in British waters in order to protect the species. The International Council for the Exploration of the Sea, which is ICES, a Denmark-based independent body which advises the government on managing fish stocks, has judged that the cod population in almost all of Britain's waters so depleted that none should be caught next year for the species to recover. So they are saying there should be zero fishing for cod, at least through all of 2026. Last year, they had sort of lowered the budget for, and by budget, I mean the amount of fish that should be caught. They lowered it to 15,000 tons for these areas. And now they're saying it should be zero, except for one small area around the island of Rockall in the North Atlantic. It says even there, the independent body warned that only 11 tons could be caught sustainably, enough for approximately 55,000 fish suppers, or one meal for every 1,200 people in Britain. So relatively nothing compared to the usual catch. This is not coming as a massive surprise. Hugo Tagholm, executive director of Oceana UK, said the collapse confirmed said the science confirmed that North Sea cod was in grave danger of collapse, which they have warned about since 2023. Our warnings were ignored, and since then we have had to watch helplessly as the UK government sold out our seas and communities, allowing fishing pressure to build relentlessly as the largest industrial vessels squeezed out the small local boats. So yeah, here's where the analogy starts to kick in, right? A warning was given. Research was done. It was determined that what was happening was at an unsafe level. This research was paid for by charities, presented to the government. The government ignored it. And instead, in the name of capitalism, money, power, whatever you want to call it, they sold out the seas and the communities, allowing the pressure to build relentlessly as the largest industrial vessels squeezed out the small local boats. No one wins if we continue to empty our seas Stock after stock will follow cod, and once collapsed, these populations could take decades to recover. So this is the next point. It's not just the cod that are affected by this, right? The article talks about, hey, your fish and chips, you know, you might not have as much access to as many choices in your fish and chips. But of course, we know that ecosystems are fragile. They rely on a relatively consistent continuation of a prey versus predator dynamic. And by removing one species, you have the potential to set off a chain reaction that moves in both directions for other species. Now they go on to say here, he said, and he being Johnny Hughes, a conservation charity, Blue Marine's senior UK marine policy manager, that the scientific assessments published today show that cod in the North Sea and to the west of Scotland join the populations in the Irish Sea and Celtic Sea as having collapsed. He said that to receive zero catch advice, a fish stock had to be in an abysmal state. But it was the second stock after haddock in the Celtic Sea. I said Celtic and Celtic, I forget how it's pronounced, to join the ranks of collapsed stocks this year. This is a direct result of decisions in previous years to prioritize short-term economic profit for a handful of largely wealthy fishing companies at the expense of the environment and the long-term future of fishing communities. This collapse was not unforeseen. In fact, it was predictable and inevitable. So just back to that analogy of, hey, look, it sounds like this is a direct decision from previous years. It was short-term economic profit that was prioritized for the largest wealthy fishing companies and at the expense of the environment and long-term future. If that can't be said about almost every aspect of collapse, then I don't know what can. Conservationists are also raising concerns about mackerel, advice on which is due at the end of the month, and calling for countries to follow scientific advice in this year's negotiations to protect these stocks. But if suddenly we can't fish cod, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go to the next most popular, which in this case sounds like mackerel, amongst others. Going to the comments on this one, it was posted in the r/collapse subreddit on Reddit. Somebody said, we could have enough fish for the entire planet if we would ban industrial factory trawlers. We've been allowing these gigantic ships to gouge the seafloor for decades. They vacuum everything up and destroy everything in the path that drags across the bottom. Anyone and everyone that has had anything to do with fishing recreation or commercial will tell you these ships are responsible for the destruction of the fishery. Another commenter says, the most parasitic race to live on Earth continues to be humans who learn nothing and continue to do the same thing to make money, even if it means destroying the entire world and everything with it in the process. You know, I find that interesting when you zoom out, right, and you look at capitalism, it all feels so heartless. When you zoom in really tight, what do you have? Well, in many cases, you have individuals who are trying to get by, right? How many fishermen or people work in fisheries around the UK just trying to feed their families, right? You zoom out a little bit more from that, and you have corporations and these large trawling ships, right, who oftentimes come from the UK, but oftentimes come from other parts of the world. Well, those corporations don't care about the environment. Those corporations care about shareholder value, and therefore they will do whatever it takes. And you zoom out further than that, and you have now a group of millions of corporations around the world, all with the same aim, all not caring about the environment, only caring about money and shareholder value, and it adds up to, well, the disasters that we're facing today. If only we had, you know, a historical reference for this type of thing. If only we had been warned, oh, I don't know, 3 decades ago about what could happen if we don't pay attention to the sustainability of fisheries in particular. In 1992, the Atlantic Northwest cod fishery, this is off of Canada, collapsed completely. The number of cod population reduced to about 1% of the original number. This was mostly due to, like that commenter said, these trawlers that just move along the bottom of the ocean with massive chains and nets, vacuuming up, pulling up everything that they can. In a Wikipedia article about this collapse in Canada from 1992, it says the trawlers also caught enormous amounts of non-commercial fish, which were economically unimportant, but very important ecologically. The incidental catch undermined the stability of the ecosystem by depleting stocks of important predator and prey species. Yeah, this is happening all over the world, right? Trawlers are still very much a thing. There was a documentary on this recently that I've seen bits and pieces of, and I need to go back and watch the whole thing, and the name of it is eluding me at the moment. But it's impactful to see what it is they are doing, to understand the impacts that it's having on the oceans. And in this case, that trawling just plus just a massive amount of growing competition fed into a historic drop in levels of cod population. The biggest impacts came in the 1950s and 60s when there was a large uptick in the amount of fishing that was being done. And it led to, in 1992, this massive decline. Over the following decades, they tried to let the population restock and stabilize. It still has not. Just for a context on numbers, in 1968, the cod catch peaked at 810,000 tons. So in 1 year, 810,000 tons. Now, over the decades since 1992, when it collapsed, they've been trying to let it recover a little bit here and there. Well, I should say they let it recover, and then they've been trying here and there to allow for people to go fish again. In 2015, two reports on cod fishery recovery suggested stocks had somewhat recovered. However, in June 2018, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans reduced the cod quota to 9,500 tons since it found that cod stocks had fallen again after just 2 years of fair catches. So finally in 2016, they were like, all right, you can come back and fish. Here's some very small quotas. They fished at those quotas and found that the stocks had already depleted way back down. Now in 2024, the Canadian government lifted the fishing ban for cod off the north and east coasts. It allowed commercial fishing for the first time since 1992 and set the total allowable catch at 18,000 tons. So from 810,000 tons down to 18,000 tons, we're talking like 2% the amount of fishing that was done 30 years ago. And it is to be seen, because this is just starting to pick back up, if it's going to be sustainable or if they're going to have to cut it back down. I think we can start to expect to see this same thing happening across the planet. We're seeing it happen right now off the coast of the UK, but these depletion, the pressure that's being put on by humans to rip all the fish out of the water, destroying ecosystems along the way, plus climate change and the impacts of warming waters, of changing currents and those types of things, all set to disrupt ecosystems in the coming years as our oceans continue to die. Refer back to our episode on the dying oceans. I didn't look up what number it is, but we try and give a good baseline of what's causing issues in the oceans today. And surely things have gotten much worse in the last 5 years since we did that episode. And so it definitely warrants some renewed research into the wider issues at hand, and perhaps a new episode on that here coming down the line. So wrapping up here with one more thought around sort of the fishery collapses. As resources deplete, we know that this can cause international conflicts. There is a conflict called the Turbot War, which is in 1995, which was basically this tension between Canada and Spain regarding overfishing of a fish called turbot in the North Atlantic. And this was kind of amongst all of this time in which there was turmoil because cod fisheries had already been depleted. 37,000 fishermen lost their jobs and their livelihoods due to this. And now they had basically Spanish and Portuguese ships coming over from across the Atlantic and overfishing beyond what had basically been allowed for this other type of fish. It resulted in Canadian Coast Guard firing warning shots at this Spanish trawler because it knew that it had already exceeded its quota. They went and they apprehended it, and it caused this sort of standoff, this escalation. Spain, backed by the EU, prepared warships. Anyway, it ended up that there was some negotiation that happened. EU pressured Spain into giving in, and it turned out to be this thing where countries were more strongly able to protect the waters around their countries, even for things like fishing. But I see this as a precursor to what we're seeing today, where we still have so many countries who send trawlers to other parts of the world as their own stocks start to deplete. This can be said of most resources, right? And that's a reason that so many wars begin, is because in a battle for resources, there's so much pressure to take from maybe weaker countries that do have. And when you're dealing with a population of people who start to suffer because of a lack of resources that they are used to, whether for their economy or for their livelihood, it's no surprise that these conflicts increase. All right, a lot to look at here. I guess we'll catch up at the end of next year to see what's happened in the meantime with the cod situation in the UK. Were they able to manage it? Did they stop? And will they be allowed to start again? Thanks for being here. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.